my Savior died. Well, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, and there in my heart was the blood of life. And oh, precious fountain that saves from sin. Well, I am so glad I have you, and there Jesus saved me. Tonight for a great opportunity to serve you. My God, I love to sing glory to your name. I love to praise your name. I love to adore your name, Lord. Tonight we're here in your name, and we're here to worship that name. God, we're thankful for everyone that's come to your house. Thank you for your Spirit. Ask you to bless in this word tonight, we pray. And we love you for it, God. We love you for it. Amen. 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 There's not enough, I guess, that I could say tonight about how happy I am to be here and how just been missing everybody. So I don't guess I'll say any more about it. That's all right. That's all right. I'd like to read tonight one verse of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. We had our anniversaries Thursday. And I had to thank, went back the first time that I remember being in this service and this church and the services that we had, the first time I preached, and just had a time of little remembrances. Just a little, Brother Frank's had it on tape. When I preached revival down there, woke up Sunday morning hearing me preach that sermon I preached at that time, almost 4.5 years ago. But it come a long way, all of us. I see in some of our lives, some of us have, maybe I oughtn't say it, some of us have grown tall in some other ways, and grown spiritually. Grown a whole lot spiritually. Some wasn't here back then. Some are walking in a great way, and just a whole lot to be thankful for.
Yeah, sure.
You can look at the moments, the small little troubles that we may endure, and if you stop and look back on where we've come, We've come so far and God's done so much that the little petty trouble that might come my way, it should never bring me down. It should just look back at what all He's done for me and just gain the strength to go on. Hallelujah. All right, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. And I'd like just to use this first portion of this verse that very meaningful. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. Tonight, let me, for a heading, I guess, let me talk about wasted gains. Wasted gains. You look back at all of our lives. You take couples that are just getting started in life together. They set their goals that by the time I reach a certain age, or hope by the time I retire, that I have some things that I've accumulated in life. I like to have a house, like to have a car, like to own it, and not be paying the bank for it every month. You know, some of the little things in life, and just gains that we accomplish and we accumulate. You look at what families, what husband and wives who've been married for years. You see all the paraphernalia, a lot of things that to me I would be considering nothing, but to that individual, it's been gains along the life. The other day I went to an elderly lady's house. I guess she was elderly. I've never seen her. She sounded old anyhow. And I was going to tune her piano. And she left the door unlocked. And so I went in, and there before I started tuning, she had the top of that piano covered, looked like, from everything, from every city in the United States. Little bells, little dogs. You know, hi, I'm in Florida. What you doing? And all this kind of stuff. And I had to clear all that stuff off, and every piece that I'd pick up, and every one of those crazy bells that would ring as I'd move it, I'd think, now this is just waste. Man, I wouldn't have one of these. And I was thinking, you just dare try and put some of those things in our house. I didn't want none of them. And then after I started to put them back up, I had to take them down, put them up, and I thought, what are this lady, this shows different things in her lives. It's gains to her. It tells the stories of her life. But then again, this scripture came, wasted gains. My dad used to tell me the same thing that I guess every parent tells their children when they don't want to eat their plate. Don't you know there's kids starving in Africa? And well, Dad, really, I'm willing to help. Let's pack it up and ship it off. I don't want no more of that stuff. And I did that night after night after night. Well, now I look back. I despise to finish a supper and to see almost, it looks like, as much there as when you first started. When we first settled in Arkadelphia, Debbie wasn't used to fixing for two and three of us. You ever sit down to two adults and try to eat a bowl of mashed potatoes about that size and a bowl of corn? Besides, she must have fried a whole hen house of chickens. And we'd throw more food away in a night than we could eat in a week. And she kept saying, she'd say, I just can't learn to gear down. And I'd watch that stuff going down the garbage disposal. I'd say, well, please try to gear down. That's waste, and there's no sense in it. But our gains, a person can run the profit that they can make in a lifetime. Now, I'm not just talking, I think I was ruined that first month on food bill. But you can lose. You can have more going out than you have coming in. And when you stop and look at the source, so many times it's just wasted. Needless. Something that should never have been. Let me say this, then I'm going to get to preaching, I think. The other day, Rendell and I went fishing. And y'all know Rendell likes to fish. And we came back, Chip, we caught a mess of fish, boy. I mean, it looked pretty. And we brought back an ice chest, I don't know what all we had. And Rinda was going to take him to his mother-in-law, to Lana's mom. And I told Debbie on the way home, I said, those fish will sit underneath that faucet and they're going to ruin them because Rinda was too tired to do anything with them. And they were nice looking fish. And I asked Brother Rutledge about 4 days later when I came back, I said, what did Rinda ever do with those fish? He said he let them sit there till they spoiled, till they weren't any good, and he had to throw them away. Now, wasted. Wasted. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in honey. Brother Vernon, when I read this scripture the other day, I thought about that deer hunt going out there, my first venture in the deer camp that I really enjoyed. We really roughed it with four pies. He come one day, he said, you want a piece of pie? I said, you're kidding me. And he opened up the refrigerator, Brother Howard, he had all sorts of pies and everything you'd want. I had a soft bed. I was expecting to sleep out under the stars or something. But Brother Bernard had parked his trailer in a place I doubt very seriously if it'll be this year. He parked them right next to the dogs. And all night long, those dogs, they could sense. There was excitement. I don't know if they could feel it, but they sure kept me awake on that. And I don't know how many times Brother Bernard went out there and I'd hear him yell, hey, hush up out there! And he'd beat the side of the fence and the excitement of it, of the hunt. And I read the scripture and I thought about it. Now, I've never done much hunting in my lifetime, but I began to think and feel the excitement there is. That's what keeps the men that never get a deer. Now, Rhonda, if you'd wait on Chip to put meat, deer meat on your table the last few years he's hunted, you'd be starving to death. But yet, year after year, there's something about it. I want to go back out. Year after year, it said, let me get the shotgun down that had never, the sights had never fired on a deer and brought one down. But let me go this year. And that excitement of the hunt and that thrill and that joy as you begin to realize that possibility that is there. And this, the time that the writer of Proverbs was writing, it was a whole lot different than what we would consider our hunt today. If we hunt, if we fish, and again, if most of the men around here would have to depend on what we take in our ventures of great Bawanas, our family would be starving to death. But in our day, it's just a sport. It's just something that we enjoy doing. But in the days of this writer, when the writer wrote these words, there was no sport involved. It wasn't just going out and saying, I think it'd be a nice day to hunt. There was a necessity involved. So it goes a little bit deeper than just saying, Rinda left a bucket full of fish outside the ruin. It goes a little bit deeper than just saying that I threw those back or I didn't want them. But there was necessity involved. This story tells us of a hunter that early some morning as the sun began to break, this hunter felt that excitement I was talking about. As he said, this feels like a good day to go hunting. And possibly he had his tent next to the dog pen. And here the dogs as they begin to bark and something in the air. I just feel it's fine and it's a good day. And as that man lay there just a few more moments, the thing that probably picked him out early that morning out of bed was the thoughts of previous hunts and the thoughts of what I've done in times past. I remember bringing that deer down. I remember stalking that animal. And then that hunter wakes up and sees his bow and quiver of arrows, picks them up, and he says, we're going hunting. And every step that he takes as he begins to search out that game, he stalks the game, and finally, as the day comes to an end, he meets, maybe sighting that deer out there. And as he begins to draw the sights and draw that bow back, that arrow, and waiting to bring that game down, finally the arrow's released. He sees it meet its target. The animal's dropped. And then this hunter spends some time dragging the animal out of the woods. Coming back home to the tent, he lays it outside the tent, crawls back in bed. He says, I'm sure tired. I'll take care of this thing in just a little while. I hadn't cleaned it yet. It's so much work. You know, you take... Now, I wouldn't know from last year, but what I was watching, it was a whole lot of work skinning those animals, a whole lot of work trying to prepare the meat, a whole lot of work involved getting the fire. And the hunter said, it right now, the easiest thing I can think of is I just want to go to bed. And he leaves that animal lay out there. And as the night time comes, the next day comes, this white writer says that this man, this lazy man, this gentleman that was too tired to prepare his meat, he roasteth not, or he prepareth not, or he doesn't use what he took in honey. And so what this man is saying about his life, I'm too tired. I'm too tired right now to worry about eating tomorrow. There might have been a little bit in the ice box and just a little bit left, but right now my body physically is tired and I'm too weird to be worried about preparing this meat for a future day. So now I'm saying, I'm too tired to think about being hungry tomorrow. And so he leaves that animal, let the sun beat down on it, until he finally, in about 3 days, when he decides to get out of bed, there's such a stench and his wife's nagging him so bad, he has to go out and bury the animal. Until I moved down here, I never did any fishing. That's why I'm trying to make up on all that lost time, those years that I didn't fish hardly. I remember the first bass that I'd ever caught. I didn't even know what it was. And I threw out a little floater and I put on a glob of those juicy red worms. You know, I had a ball, I guess about like that. And I threw that thing out. It would have taken a big fish. Any small thing couldn't have got it. And I threw that thing out. All of a sudden, I watched that floater. We were out on a picnic and I didn't even know there was anything in that lake. And I started reeling that in and looked like a fish about like that. And really, I guess now I look at it, it's probably, if it was a pound, it was doing a whole good lot. And I brought that fish back, and I went to where Mom and Dad was. Dad was, I think, frying hamburgers, grilling hamburgers or something. And I walked. Now, I could have shot straight across and got where they were. But I wanted to carry that fish around the park. Yeah. And I walked the long way around the lake holding that fish. I must have been about 5 years old, I guess. And I just walking around with that fish. And just I wanted everybody. By the way, did you hear I caught an 8-pound bass the other day? I wanted everybody to see that fish. And I walked around and I came up and I was positive that we weren't going to put the hamburgers back in the refrigerator. We're going to eat fish today, Dad. And I thought, now this fish is big enough to take care of the needs of the family. And Dad, now let's not bother grilling these hamburgers. Let's go ahead and get this fish. Look what I caught to take care of our needs. And I thought he was going to drop everything, clean that fish, and we were going to eat fish. And my dad said, now, wait a minute. Let's take it home. And I didn't know at that time that he had no intention of cleaning that fish. We went home, and all the way home, I was holding that fish in my lap. And I was just all excited. We're going to clean this fish. We'll eat it for supper tonight. And I got home, and I said, all right, Dad, get the knife out. Let's clean it. And what I was saying, you clean it. And Dad said, listen, said that fish ain't enough for us to eat. Said, let's put it to use. You know, Brother Rutledge, my dad took the first bass that I had ever caught. And he took it outside in the backyard and buried it in the garden. That night when I went to bed, just a child, I could see that bass just earlier. It was swimming around. And Brother James, it was out there rotting now. And that bothered me all night long. That fish was decayed for nothing. Wasted, as far as I could see. Going to the garden for fertilizer. And I thought, my word, there's no sense in this. But wasted gains. Wasted gains.
Oh, God.
This lazy man prepared not, roasted not that which he took in honey. But he let it just lie outside. We have found, and we know this, we know what we have. We have found the great treasure that life is all about tonight.
That's the truth.
Your testimonies telling of just various walkings with God, that's the treasure that we've found. We have, through this, I guess it would be right to label it, we have found a gain. We have found the spoils of life. We have found the profits out of our labor, out of our working. We have found what it is to know God and to serve God. But hear me tonight, from what I feel in my soul, there comes a possibility
then we take the joys of what God has given us. And I have, I wish I did not have to say it, but I have found and I've known some that have been guilty of this, that they've wasted the joys of the gains of God and the spirit that moves within them. It becomes a waste because they themselves, not that God won't use it, not that it will not supply the needs, but they're too busy here and there and going out there. And I want to try this, and I see it. I know it's sitting there. I know we got to take care of it. I know we got to prepare it. But there's so many things in life that catch my mind and catch my attention until I'm too busy to take care of the gains that I have found in my honey. In my honey. And I'm not going to be negative tonight. Out of the spirit that we have felt, that same zeal that it took for me to press through to receive the Holy Ghost is the same zeal that it will take after the hunt's over to go ahead and take care of it.
Hallelujah.
To go ahead and dress it out.
Amen.
Go ahead and prepare it. Go ahead and we got to eat later. We got to eat sometime later. This hunter, what about the winter time when the game was scarce and there was nothing to eat? And his children came crying and said, "Daddy, we're hungry." And Dad goes to the refrigerator and says, "There's nothing there." Wouldn't you imagine his mind would go back to that wasted piece of meat, that wasted animal that he said, "I was too lazy to take care of it. I was too lazy to prepare it." But now it becomes too late because I was too tired. I was too weary. The excitement of the hunt will cause many of the men to go out. But after the excitement is over, the joy of the hunt for many ceases. And that's the thing. It isn't that some have less. I don't believe that there's varying stages of the Holy Ghost. You either got it or you ain't got it. You either got the Spirit of God or you do not have the Spirit of God. But the thing that varies, when some, you have a revival, and you can mark it down, you have a revival, and there's going to be some that all of a sudden, man, I want to be in on the bandwagon. Things are moving in the apostolic church. Some of those may not be here tonight. And a week after the revival, they may not be around. But when the excitement is all involved, I want to run, I want to jump, I want to leap, I want to fill it all, but when it's over, when the excitement as such ceases, I just don't want to work with it. Brother Jackson, I don't want the Monday night prayer meeting. That's dressing out the game. I don't want the contest. That's too much work. Brother Rutledge, you're always saying, "Let's get more. Let's just coast a while." The excitement's over. The excitement has ceased for now. And as far as the excitement, when it went, the joy left. But I want you to hear something tonight. When the true joy of the Holy Ghost sweeps in our soul, even the work becomes joy. Even the prayers become exciting. Even the crying out to souls become a thrilling part of our work. Hallelujah. 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 When you truly get the idea of what praying's about, I used to wonder how some people could come and pray as long as what some people came and prayed. They just get over there, and I thought, you know, there's no sense running this thing in the ground now. We can come little by little and when we want. But I began to see things a little differently. When you get the burden, it's more. Church is a whole lot more than just the Sunday night excitement. It's a whole lot more than just even the service excitement.
Amen.
It's the making of it. What feeds the family? It's preparing the meat. There's more to the hunt than just shooting the animal and saying, "Hey, you should have saw the 14-point buck I missed last season." It's more than telling what I saw. It's going through with the work and saying, "We put something up to eat in the wintertime. We've set some back so we may eat when the food is scarce and times are hard." And just go on through with it. Wasted. Wasted games. Young people that are here, and this is a beautiful group of young people.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful. I don't know what happened to get them all here like this, but something must have been. It's beautiful. Young people, it isn't waiting until I'm married to prepare what the Lord's given me. It isn't saying now, when I get old like James and Sharon and get married and henpecked like Chip and all these sort of things, then I'm going to start really getting down. That isn't involved. That isn't it. It's a sad thing. And I know Brother Rutledge. I don't know it from my youth yet, from my young ministry. But I know it from the years that I've grown and raised in the church. It's a sad thing to watch youth as their life is just wasted in the service. In and out. So they call, in and out. Shouting one Sunday, next Sunday, can't be found. Or if I come, it's because they made me. They threatened me with a belt. Gary told me how they used to have to drag Brent to church, Sister Castillo. He said, I used to say, Mom, you go on. And I worked him over with the belt. I don't know if you knew how bad he was with him. He beat him. But I might be there. I might be there because Gary threatened me with the belt. And I'm just sitting there. But you, and again, especially, I guess, the youth tonight, you need to realize what you have while you're young. You develop. Someone told me, I don't know if it's true or not, someone told me as far as study habits, that you get your study habits by the time, I believe they said it was 24 or 25, basically, on the average. And if you haven't acquired, as far as a studious type of person, if you haven't acquired study habits by that time, chances are you never will. Well, our walking, our worship, our serving God, our opportunities of 5 years, 10 years from now, of making something in the house of God, it's now that I begin to develop my life. It doesn't matter. You say, well, I'm just 13 or 14 or younger. But that really isn't the point of it. The point is, I have found something in my hunting. I have acquired something in my searching. And now the challenge is before us. What will we do with what we've found? What am I going to do with it? Am I going to drag it back home, labor to bring it back for a few weeks, a few months, and then let it just sit outside and let it be wasted for year after year after year? One of the most precious things that I've ever enjoyed in a revival, and I speak revival because that's more what I know, but was to look back. And when you're preaching, you can count on some of the young people. If someone comes to the altar, you can just about tell who's going to come and help them pray. If the pastor calls prayer meeting early, you can about tell who's going to be there to pray. And you watch the young people that are going to be willing to say, at my age now, I want to give it all now. I don't want to waste the years. I don't want to let them go by. Sister Marilyn, I imagine that you'd be able to stand and say, young people, if I had the chance you have, I'd rather had it from the time I was 10 years old, serving God, walking with God, giving my all to God. And Brother Jackson, I've heard you say it many times in testimony service. I wish I'd have found it years ago. And sometimes we can have it. I've had it in my years when I was at a home. And think of the services I wasted. I wasted the gains that God had given me, the things that He was offering unto me, and I let some things just be wasted. And I'm not saying you're going to be lost if you don't just completely serve Him 100% right now. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you can find the depths in God. You can find the strength in God. You can find the stability in God that you need. But we cannot waste this.
Right.
Our talents, the rambles, this that's out singing, they've wasted the gains that God had given them.
Right.
It's wasted. My personal feelings, I wouldn't pay you a quarter to go hear them. I wouldn't walk across the street to hear them.
If I'm going to go hear someone, I'd rather hear someone. Now, this sounds silly, but this is my own self. I can't hardly sit and look at them. I have in times past. I can't sit and look at those. Are they hypocrites, Brother Robert? I can't hardly sit. I've heard Dottie talk about all the good Nazarenes she used to watch shout around. And knowing that this lady supposedly walked with God, supposedly was in the house of God, and at least sung and did right for a while, but now you look at them, that's wasted. Wasted gains. And that's showing some of the things you see. But some of our lives, I don't reckon I'll ever be invited to go on stage. Brother James, my singing isn't going to get me on stage, you told me. But I can't waste it. Our youth, what a sad, and I'm going to close, what a sad situation to look at that later on could have been used to feed the family. To feed the family. You fathers that are here tonight, and we're not in days of... Sometimes we think we're in depressions, maybe, but really we're not. But you think, I don't know if you've ever thought much on it, but to realize it's our responsibility to feed. The little baby, I remember when Richie was a baby, we had to get the formula, get the milk and all that, and that's when it first hits you, I guess, when you first realize, this child is my responsibility. Well, the family will starve without the father. If he neglects the family goes hungry. Got an uncle that he passed away a few years ago, but in his lifetime he had one of the best jobs that Goodyear Tire Company in Akron, Ohio offered at that time. They lived in a shack. The children, my cousins, they had nothing. Their clothes, they were rags. They had to... Anything they got, my one cousin, his suits were suits that my dad had given him that now he had outgrown. And here this man, who had a great opportunity to provide for his family, he wasted all that. Lord, I don't want. Not only don't want, Brother Franks, I cannot waste what God's given me. We've got an opportunity. You're talking about growing in number. The opportunity's there if we use it. And if we don't, we waste it. It's that simple. There's no saying, I'll fix it next week. That rocks today is no good any longer. No one would want to eat food that was spoiled. No one would try to find something that had now decayed. Yesterday it might have been good. Today it's no good. Use what God's given us to the fullest extent of our power. Use it for the workings of God, for the purpose of God, to be able to stand and just know. Sometimes it's good just for yourself to say, I know that I'm doing what I feel God want me to do. I feel it in my heart. I feel like I'm helping the church. I feel like I'm being an aid. Not to stand and brag about it, but to yourself. And that's the reason we're helping the church. Moving the church. Let us stand tonight. Hallelujah. 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 The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in honey. We found the great gain. We found the great movings of God. Don't waste it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing. Anywhere you want me to be, and I'll do anything you'd have me do. Makes no difference. Well, Lord, I'll make the sacrifice. And I'll go anywhere.
Makes no difference what others may do, and I'll do anything you'd have me do. If you will only give me grace, Lord, I'll go just any place, and I'll do anything you want me to. Sing it. Sacrifice, will it, Lord? Lord, I'll go.
While Brother Dick was preaching, I thought of the story Brother Merle told us. He said that his cousin worked in the woods with him when they were just boys. And this boy had been neglectful. Maybe it was his own brother. I'm not real sure. It was a close relative. And he'd been neglectful concerning his soul. But at that time on the jukeboxes was that song, Wasted Years. And said every time they went in a hamburger joint, if there was a jukebox there, this boy would go straight to the jukebox and play Wasted Years, Wasted Years. And then one day an accident took his life instantly. And as far as he knew, he went out without God. He said, could God have been talking to him all that time, even through that record on a jukebox? Wasted years. Millions are out there tonight just wasting their youth, wasting their strength. Saints are wasting the reality of the Holy Ghost in their own life. They're not damaging the Holy Ghost, but they're losing out. They're missing out on something. Let's sing one time, will you? Wasted years. Sing it together. Boy, that's the wrong key. Find right key. All right?
Wasted years. Oh, how foolish.
And you fall in love. It's now, here's what news.
All turn around, turn around. God is calling, He's calling you. Oh, wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish.
Once again, let's thank God for His goodness tonight. Will you do that? Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Did you appreciate the message tonight? Did it do anything for you? If God's word don't move us, there's something wrong with us. Hallelujah. Oh, bless God. I want to sing it one more time. Oh, wait. Darkness and fear.
Oh, bless God, bless God. Oh, turn around.
Turn around,
oh, He's calling you. Away.
Hallelujah. I want to tell you one thing. I think Pastor Work has done Dick good. He's always preached good, but I enjoyed that tonight. I liked your jokes. He had that coming. We go to Hot Springs and I preach and the folks laugh at me, laugh with me. With me, not at me. That's like old Donald's foot on his heel. But Dick went over there and preached, and they sat there and looked at him. And he said all they liked about my preaching was my jokes. I liked your jokes tonight. That's fine. He did good. He did us good. Let's join together in prayer as we're dismissed, will you? Father of heaven, move, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, smile upon our efforts. Move with your glory. Move with your power. In the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah!